You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I'm your host, Kevin Allstriker of Ravens Wire. We return here. It is a Tuesday edition of the show after wildcard weekend officially concluded as the Arizona Cardinals and the Los Angeles Rams played a Monday night game in which, as was the theme for most of the weekend, honestly, just another blowout. The Arizona Cardinals get demolished, only score 11 points against the Rams. And look, my Super Bowl pick for the NFC is the Rams, and they showed why a lot on Monday night, and so they will go. And the whole playoff picture for the divisional round, actually a really good slate of games, and it should be a lot better than what wildcard weekend was. I mean, having these seven seeds has kind of thrown everything off, and just given the NFL playoffs, it's like, why is this 9-7 team here? Why is this? And I know that the Cardinals weren't obviously the seven seed or anything, but I don't know. It just has a different feel with seven teams in each conference in there. But regardless, the Ravens are not there, as everybody knows. 8-9 for the Ravens, six-game losing streak. And part of it just had to do with, again, collapses and lack of finishing and a bunch of other different issues. But today, I wanted to get into studs and duds for the Ravens just over the course of their entire season. Now, we did this after week 16 when the Ravens played the Bengals. I did a studs and duds episode, and I enjoyed it. And I said then that I'll want to do it again after the season ended. And so, look, here we are. The season's ended. So what better time to do it now before the full offseason does kick off and we get to free agency and the draft and everything. So here today, I do want to talk about studs and duds. We'll talk about the offense in the first segment over the course of the season, the defense, same thing in the second segment. And then in the third segment, we'll get into coaching studs and duds for the Ravens over the course of the season. And we'll talk about like pass offense, rush offense, pass defense, rush defense, and stuff like that too. So a lot of different stuff to dive into today. So let's dive into it. Before we do that though, if you are following along with us here on YouTube, you can see my face and my background in video form. Be sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel. Our first goal is 1,000 subscribers. We've been growing and it's been awesome. And it's been really amazing to see, honestly. So thank you if you've already subscribed. And I thank you in advance if you're going to hit that subscribe button and turn notifications on so you know when our content comes out. But I'll tell you right here, it's Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern time. And also, we're in audio form, obviously, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. So I greatly appreciate everybody listening on there as well. Also, be sure to follow me on Twitter at ChaosRecord34 and the Locked On Ravens Twitter account at Locked On Ravens. So let's dive into the Ravens studs and duds for the entirety of their 2021 year. We'll start with the offense, dive into some of those guys first before getting into the full extent of the actual offense. And, you know, I want to start here by talking a bit about Lamar Jackson, and I'm going to put him in the middle. I'm going to say in the middle because what he was able to do, it was literally like almost a tale of two halves, but he didn't play for a lot of the second half of the season. But at the beginning part of the year, he just looked so cool, so calm, so collected in the pocket. And we saw when Lamar Jackson got time to throw and he was able to go through his reads, analyze where he wanted to throw the football, he was slinging the rock around. I mean, a bunch of good performances. Not every game was great, but I still looked at the Indianapolis game, a couple of the performances there over the first half where the pass offense was actually, they looked really improved. And then obviously the second half of the season, Jackson gets injured, Tyler Huntley, Josh Johnson, all those different guys come in and kind of collapses on everybody. But I thought that Jackson during the Miami game, that was really the fall of the year for him. And he struggled from that game on. It wasn't like he got it together and had a couple of great games and a couple of bad games. It was from week 10 on, it was not good. And you know, Lamar Jackson will tell you that. Anybody would tell you that. But I'm going to give him credit for his first half of the season while also saying his, you know, quote unquote, second half was not good. So I put him in the middle there, but I'd say Tyler Huntley was a stud. I mean, look, the record wasn't what you want. He didn't win a ton of games for him. He came in against Chicago and when Lamar Jackson had his non-COVID illness and he played and he won the game there. But so often did we see over the course of when Jackson went down with the ankle injury, it was just good games. And then the last two were not great. The Pittsburgh game was by far his worst. Deep ball accuracy was never there. But all things considered, asking a guy to step in that situation and lead a team to victories can be difficult, especially with the injuries the unit was going for or going through. I'm not going to give him a complete pass, but I'm going to say, all things considered, Huntley was a stud, and the Ravens found out they had a quality backup quarterback option behind Lamar Jackson, which I think that's why the team has to be feeling pretty good about their quarterback situation right now, because you have Jackson, who was obviously the starter for multiple reasons, and now you have Huntley, who shows that he can keep this team competitive. And if it is a situation where Jackson goes down again and they need Huntley to come in again, let's hope the Ravens will be a little bit more healthy. And I think with a healthier unit surrounding him, Huntley will be able to lead this team to victory. So I'd say Tyler Huntley was a stud. I'm going to say Devonta Freeman was a stud as well. Now, first half-ish Devonta Freeman was not amazing, but he ended up leading all running backs in carries for this team with 133, led all running backs in yards with 576, and led all running backs in touchdowns. Or actually, no, was second in touchdowns with 5. Latavius Murray was first again among running backs, and actually the whole Ravens rushing offense was 6. But Freeman averaged 4.3 yards per carry in this season, which I thought coming in, I didn't know what to expect out of him. You know, he had kind of lost some burst. You know, we saw what he did in New York with the Giants, and it was like, all right, I don't know about this. But look, he showed, I think, prowess as a receiving option. He was able to break not huge runs, but get a lot of yards when they needed it at times. And, you know, Kadri Ismail has come on the show and talked before about how he just wanted Devonta Freeman to break those runs. You know, on those 9-yard runs, you get tripped up by a shoelace and everything. And so that was something where, you know, Q was like, all right, let's break those runs now. But, you know, Freeman, he is not the same player he was. A dud for me in the run game, Latavius Murray, another one, Le'Veon Bell, another one, Tyson Williams. The Ravens run game in general, I call overall a dud. Just wasn't it for me. I know the stats tell a different story. I mean, looking at the total Ravens rush stats for 2021, they ranked 3rd in attempts, 3rd in yards, 9th in touchdowns, 5th in yards per attempt. But I think for people who watch this Ravens offense, they know that it wasn't that black and white, and there was a lot of games where they were averaging 3.4 yards per carry or 2.9 yards per carry. You know, Latavius Murray, outside of that Pittsburgh game, didn't really do a ton. Tyson Williams got in the doghouse early, never got out, and Le'Veon Bell got cut altogether. So the run game, they definitely missed J.K. Dobbins. They missed Gus Edwards. It was rough, and I give the Ravens credit for how they adjusted. It's never easy to adjust in that situation, and, you know, they will get back reinforcements with Dobbins and with Edwards. Talk about studs. Let's talk about Mark Andrews for a second, right? I mean, all kinds of broken records this season for him. He was the stud of this Ravens offense. He was the MVP of this Ravens offense, 100% for me. He was a player that came in and had a slow start, but ended up having a monster game against Indianapolis, 147 yards, 2 scores there. Finished the season overall from a receiving perspective, 107 catches, 1,361 yards, and 9 touchdowns. For a tight end, by the way, I mean, Mark Andrews, not only is his receiving skills, we all know what he is as a receiver, but his blocking has improved. Coming out of Oklahoma, he was mostly a receiving threat, not really a great blocker, but he has improved that area. So he is an all-around tight end, and he showed that over the course of the 2021 season by just dominating, especially over the second half, just dominating week in and week out, and opposing defenses had to make him a big part of their game plan. I'm going to be a bit controversial, I guess, and say I'm going to call Marquise Brown a stud. I know some people don't agree with that. They see the drops. They see the big moment issues with him. But look, he was able to crack 1,000 yards, the first Ravens receiver to do so since Mike Wallace. It's a pretty long time ago. He averaged 11.1 yards per catch, had 6 touchdowns, 91 receptions. So I thought that he was improved from what he was over his first 2 years, and that's all you can ask. Look, the drops are an issue. I will come out. Yeah, look. I'm not going to say they're not an issue. The Detroit game in week 3, we talked about that yesterday. I recommend you check out that episode as well. But those were huge blemishes on, I think, a year that could have been even more amazing had he caught those balls, and would have been more amazing if he caught those balls. So for me, I'm still calling Marquise Brown a stud, though. I think he showed people he was coming out of Oklahoma saying he's a deep threat. He can't do anything else, but he's shown that he can work the intermediate game. He can do a lot from the slot. He can do a lot from the outside. He's a very polished receiver. He just has to hone those skills, get a bit better, become a bit more confident with his hands, and I think the sky's the limit for Marquise Brown for sure. Rashad Bateman, I'd say, was a stud. Really impressed with him over the course of his rookie season, even though he missed the first 5 games. Sammy Watkins, I'll call a dud here. Good in the first half, non-existent in the second half. I know the Ravens might have been expecting more from an on-field perspective, but we had the yearly Sammy Watkins injury that many people talk about, and it was unfortunate because he kind of seemed to be on a tiny bit of a roll, but yeah, second half of the year just was not existent on the football field. Devin Duvernay, what a stud he was. First team all pro, pro bowler, is a special teams guy, you know, is a receiver and as a weapon in the offense was great as well. So I call him a stud. James Prochet, I'm going to give him honorary stud. Didn't get a ton of opportunities, but showed out when he did get those opportunities. On the offensive line, I'm going to call Alejandro Villanueva, Tyree Phillips, both duds. Villanueva was consistently inconsistent, I'd say. Had some great moments, had some very, very poor moments. I don't think he's back next season, but, you know, he was training to go to the right side and had to move back to the left side. So I understand kind of the, where am I going? What am I doing? And Phillips, he's more of a guard at this point. The Ravens had to kick him outside to play right tackle because of all the injuries, and it was just rough. Phillips played well as a guard, did not play well as a tackle, so the Ravens, I think, should end the Phillips experiment at tackle. I do not think he's fit for that position. I think he's a good football player, but he is more fit to play inside at this point, in my opinion. Maybe that changes with his offseason work, but for now, and what I saw in 2021, I'd say definitely play him inside. Patrick McCary, obviously a stud here for me. I mean, what a performance. He's a guy who can play all five positions, improve that he can play tackle at a very high level. He's someone who I would love as a sixth offensive lineman. I think that just based off the injuries that he had this year, and, you know, pretty consistent play overall, but having a guy who can play all five positions is kind of your sixth swing offensive lineman who can, you know, we all know what happened with the Ravens in 2021 with the injuries. If you need him to step in, he can do it at any position you need him to. I think that's my best case scenario for him. But if he is the tackle for them that they feel can do the work, then look, he showed he can do it. So very impressed with him. Also impressed with Bradley Bozeman, Kevin Zeitler, two guys who I think were impressive overall for me, that combination, the center right guard combination. I hope Bradley Bozeman returns. He's going to earn a lot of money, though, whether it's with the Ravens or somebody else. We'll see how that turns out. And Zeitler, I had my eyes on him for a couple of seasons. I really liked what he brought to the table. I thought he was like a Raven, kind of. And I was very impressed with what he brought. I think he was a Pro Bowl snub, honestly. I think he deserved to make it. But, you know, not everybody can make it, unfortunately. Other than that, though, I mean, Josh Oliver was a dud for me. Don't really know what I was expecting, but I was expecting more. Nick Boyle was disappointing. I'm not going to call him a stud or a dud, but it was just disappointing he wasn't able to come back for them and be as effective. I mean, when he was on the field, you know, still doing good things, but, you know, the injury took a lot longer to heal than people would have liked, but I'm glad the Ravens took the cautious approach. That's what they should be doing all in all. But that's all for the offense. We'll head into our first break. When we get back, we'll talk about the defense and studs and duds from that unit. So stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the sports wagering action for 2022. It's a new year, and that means this new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. This is our promo code Locked On to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas seasonal games. So might take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. We return here. Our second segment of Locked On Ravens on Tuesday. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still here with you. We just talked about the offensive studs and duds for the entirety of the Ravens 2021 season. Let's talk about the defensive unit, though, and a unit that just struggles in different areas, I think, over the course of the season, where early in the year, we were talking about tackling for like weeks and months where they could not tackle. They were on the top five in missed tackles, and they were giving up huge plays too. Right? It was tackling and big plays. Every week we discussed, is this the week the Ravens tackle? Is this the week the Ravens stop giving up big plays? The big plays never fully went away, and honestly, neither did the tackling. They both improved, though. So I'm going to call tackling overall a dud and big plays given up overall a dud. But speaking of players, Patrick Queen, we started off the show talking about Lamar Jackson as right in the middle player. I'm going to say right in the middle for Patrick Queen as well, but kind of more shifting towards the stud because of what he was able to do in the second half of the season. I mean, Queen led this team in tackles with 98. He had two sacks. He had a pass defense. He had a forced fumble, a fumble recovery. But anybody who watched him, they know the struggles he went through over the first half. He didn't look confident, didn't look fast, didn't look as energetic as we saw him. And the disappointing part of it all in the first half that he had was the preseason we saw to him was phenomenal. against New Orleans Saints, he was reading plays, diagnosing screens, tackling ball carriers in the backfield, and just playing with a ton of energy. And we just didn't really see it over the first half of the season. But Josh Bynes gets inserted into the lineup, and the whole thing shifts. Patrick Queen just plays lights out next to Bynes. Queen thanked Bynes for kind of being a mentor to him and helping him along through the 2021 season. So that was nice to see. I am all on the Josh Bynes, bring him back to Baltimore train. And Josh Bynes, absolute stud for me. I mean, I've been on the show before saying that I call Josh Bynes literally the savior of this defense. I mean, just a player that came in, performed at such a high level, and a guy who got cut by the Carolina Panthers after the preseason, was on the Bengals last year and actually played decently well for him. He was cut by the Panthers, and the Ravens scoop him up on their practice squad. I think that was a great move. They promote him because they realized that they needed some inside linebacker help. And I've kind of likened the combos before, but the Patrick Queen, Malik Harrison duo, there was potential for that to turn into a great young linebacker duo in their second seasons where they didn't need veteran help and they were fine. But it also had the potential to turn into a Kenny Young, Patrick Owosso situation where, look, Owosso plays great next to a veteran. And in that case, it was C.J. Mosley. Mosley leaves. Owosso gets the green dot, keys of the defense pretty much, and just struggles in that role. And Queen struggled in the role. I'm not saying that Queen isn't fit and built for it, but second season, it can be hard, especially in Queen's rookie year. He had the COVID offseason. I'm not making excuses. He had to play better. He knew he had to play better, and he showed that in the second half of the season. A dud for me is Malik Harrison, though. Overall, I was expecting kind of big things from the linebacker duo there. I thought that those were both great picks, Queen and Harrison, and obviously Harrison went through what he went through, and overall, I just, you know, he had to recover from his gunshot wound and then came back, and Chris Board was getting snaps. Chris Nemos was getting snaps. But we never really saw a ton of Malik Harrison overall. So that was a decently big disappointment, or I call it dud for me here. Stud Tony Jefferson. Tony Jefferson was a breath of fresh air and kind of what we wanted to see out of him back when he was in Baltimore the first time around. And not saying we didn't see that at all, but I mean, Jefferson was playing confidently, playing with aggression, wrapping guys up, tackling well. Jefferson's strength is never going to be in coverage. You know, he's a player who can do it, but it's never going to be his strength. And the Ravens used him, I think, in the wrong ways when he was here his first time. And now going into his second time around, just a guy who was playing freely on the field and played with a ton of energy. And I think earned a second shot in Baltimore most definitely. So I was impressed with him. Brandon Stevens, definitely an up and down season. You know, I was impressed with how he responded. I mean, he's learning a completely different position for the second time in a row. You know, played corner at SMU, but before that was a running back at UCLA and played running back in high school. So, you know, he keeps transitioning positions, but I still think that all things considered, he played decently well overall and showed some glimpses for the future. Chuck Clark, I thought, was a stud overall and a guy who showed that contract he's on right now is a little bit of a steal. Just a little bit of a steal. Now, the dropped interceptions were disappointing. Definitely cost the Ravens in some key situations, but got his hands on two against the Rams, so kind of made up for it a little bit. But that's the only big disappointment or I guess dud factor with me with Clark is the dropped interceptions. But he's a Swiss Army knife. He can do everything. And I know people kind of say he's bland or just doesn't do anything spectacular, and it's just kind of like, eh, and you would rather get a better player. But I think that he fits their defense very well, and he understands that he's a leader. He is the glue to that defense, in my opinion. Tyus Bowser also had a great year. Honestly, probably, I've said this before, Baltimore's most consistent defender in 2021. The stats don't necessarily show that, but they honestly got to do a little bit because he was Baltimore's leading sack guy with 7. He ended up having 8 tackles for loss, 4 pass defense, 2 forced fumbles. He's someone who is just, again, like a Swiss Army knife type player, and his loss is huge. He posted those photos of him seemingly before surgery, after surgery on his torn Achilles, which we saw Cam Akers running hard last night after he suffered one, but every player is different. Torn Achilles, they can be hard to come back from. Some players can do it, some players can't, and it'll be interesting to see how Bowser does it, but 2021 season-wise, I thought Bowser was spectacular. Anthony Averett right in the middle for me. I thought he was a good start to the year, not as good end to the year, and obviously the injury kind of shadows over that. But another guy who I thought was a stud was Tavon Young. Tavon Young for me was a big stud, someone who I called the Ravens' best tackler overall. He was someone who didn't miss a ton of tackles and played great from the slot. this is what you get when you get Tavon Young healthy for a full season. And he went through some injuries, some little nagging minor ones that you're like, it's a knee or it's a foot or it's something crazy where it's not going to cost you time, but it just kind of hurts. Seemed like Young was going through those. He left games a couple times, but yeah, overall, I thought Young was very impressive. A couple duds in the cornerback room, Robert Jackson, Daryl Worley, guys who shouldn't have been expected to play anyway, but just had to. And, you know, Worley at this point, probably not a great option. Same thing with Robert Jackson. Jackson hadn't played a defensive snap in 2021 before stepping on the field against Devontae Adams. So that was something to look at there. Brandon Williams was in the middle. I thought he picked it up great over the back half of the season, but first half I think was definitely bothered by the injury he was going through. But on a team-friendly deal, I'll be more than happy to welcome him back. Calais Campbell, I'm going to call him an overall stud, but definitely tapered off as the year was kind of concluding. I'd say that he had a great start to the season and ended up kind of having that down tick. But Justin Madubuike, Broderick Washington, Justin Ellis, all great, all studs for me. Guys who were great depth pieces and were able to come in and make some impact plays. Again, the stats won't show it, but I think they still played very well. Kevon Seymour was an overall dud to me. He's a great depth piece. The Ravens actually re-signed him yesterday for the 2022 season. And quick side note for that move, it was a depth signing. I saw people getting upset over it, saying like, why are they re-signing this guy? It's literally, I think, just for depth. The guy knows the defense. He was with the team. His teammates seemed to like him. I mean, this isn't saying that he's going to be their number one corner in 2022. I just think it's for depth. And if he makes the team, makes it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. That's just where it is right now. But just because the Ravens re-signed Kevon Seymour doesn't mean that he's all of a sudden going to be, you know, in their cornerback rotation in 2022. I don't think that's set in stone whatsoever. Geno Stone had some really nice flashes, in my opinion. I think another stud, Adafe Owe, for me. Owe was great. I mean, had like a hot, cold, hot stretch where he was great at the beginning of the season, kind of, again, tapered off in the middle and then was really kind of hitting a stride again before his injury, which forced him to miss a couple games. But other than that, Pernell McPhee was a bit of a dud for me. Chris Westry had some moments, but based off expectations and people were hyping him up, I'd say overall just like a mini dud, but kind of like an in-the-middle player. The Ravens defense had so many guys playing for him. Like, I would have to sit here for probably 20 more minutes and talk about everybody. Like, Jalen Ferguson was a dud for me. He had a great preseason, and he earned a spot on my 53-man because of the preseason he had. I had him off for, like, months, and then all of a sudden he came back and performed really well in the preseason, and I'm like, well, you can't cut him now. Isaiah Mack, kind of a defensive line guy who had a great game against the Bengals in Week 16, and yeah, he earned a futures deal, so good for him. But yeah, the Ravens overall, disappointing with how many injuries they had, but the defense, especially in the second half of the year, they turned it around, and I'd say a final dud here was finishing for the Ravens overall. They couldn't finish in big moments, and that's where I think their season was lost when they had to play in those moments, and they got those close losses. It was because they couldn't finish on the field. We'll head into our final break. When we get back, we'll talk a bit about coaching studs and duds of the Ravens in 2021. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. People think unusual circumstances mean complicated taxes, but for TurboTax Live experts, that's what makes things interesting. Maybe you inherited a condo and are renting it out, or maybe you're getting paid in crypto and not sure how it's taxed. For TurboTax Live experts, an interesting life can mean even greater refunds. Luckily, TurboTax Live can match you with the right expert who has experience in your unique situation and can answer all your tax questions right from your phone or computer. They even take care of the whole filing process for you if you want. Whether you launch your own startup or are working multiple jobs, juggling multiple incomes, an experienced TurboTax Live expert can help you during the entire filing process or do your taxes for you from the start to finish to get you the tax deductions you deserve. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. You do your thing. They've got your taxes into it. TurboTax Live. We return here. It's our final segment of this Tuesday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still here with you talking Ravens football as we do every single weekday. We talk about the Ravens offensive studs and duds in the first segment, defensive studs and duds in the second segment. Now we're going to round out this show by talking about the coaches. And I think the coaches, you know, you can look at the offense, you can look at the defense. Man, this coaching staff was the most controversial part of this Ravens team for sure. And okay, let's do a quick side note here. Special team studs and duds, the entire unit's a stud. Entire unit, Tucker, Cook, Nick Moore, Devin Duvernay, everybody stud for me in my book. So credit to Justin Tucker, Sam Cook, Nick Moore, Devin Duvernay, and all those guys. But for coaches, definitely the most controversial part of the team. I mean, whether it be decision-making, play calling, execution, styles, adjustments, there was a lot. And so I'll name, obviously, head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. We'll talk about some of the assistants as well. For John Harbaugh, I'm going to put him in the stud category, but I will say that there were some moments where I know a lot of fans were frustrated. Obviously, the fan base was split over the two-point decisions that he made, where people were just saying, play for overtime, don't go for two, don't go for the win. It's reckless, this, that, and the other. I do want to say the Ravens played aggressive all season long, and that's their MO. They never went away from that. It wasn't like they started off really conservatively in the first half of the season, and then once the two-point conversions came up, it was like, oh, let's be aggressive now. No, they played aggressive the whole year, and Harbaugh was, I think, just continuing along with that. And he trusted his team, and the players appreciated that. But I'm putting him in the stud category for the most part because of how he was able to rally this team in the first half. And obviously, look, moral victories don't result in playoff wins or Super Bowls and everything. Like, oh, you can rally a team, that's awesome. But it's actually really important. It's really important that a coach can do that in the wake of all these injuries, in the wake of some of the struggles they went through. They were 8-3, the top seed in the AFC. And obviously the six straight losses, again, is going to put them in my full studs category here because as a head coach and all these close losses, I think you got to have a team a little bit better prepared to execute in those situations, especially in key fourth downs, key two-point situations. But overall, I think the way that John Harbaugh was able to rally this team was phenomenal, and able to pull any match out of this year was, again, phenomenal. So I'm not going to completely bash John Harbaugh and say, oh, you know, fire John Harbaugh. I've seen that. And look, I understand people are allowed to have their opinions, but it wouldn't be easy to find a replacement for John Harbaugh. And he's a guy who has won the locker room over. His players seem to love him. And he's a guy for me that is in my stud category, but not complete stud category because he can't excuse the 6-game loss streak. Greg Roman, I'm putting quite literally right in the middle. And I know that might be a bit controversial in its own right, but I'm going to say this. The passing offense that Greg Roman had in the first half of the season was an improvement. And I'd say that he actually called some pretty good games in the first half of the season. The second half of the season was a collapse. It was a collapse. And that's why I'm putting him in the middle. Honestly, he's more like 49% stud, 51% dud. Let's call it that way. Because I think for what he was asked to do with the players that he had, it was a little tough, right? He lost both the starting running backs. He lost an all-pro offensive tackle. His quarterback went down in week 14. There's a lot there. But the play clock going 5-4-3-2-1-0 every play. You have situational play calling that's questionable at times. Just route concepts that were, again, better, but there were still some that were like, what are they doing here? That's where I say the collapse, you cannot excuse it, but I do want to give him credit for what he did in the first half of the season, because if you go back and you watch my shows from September, October, and if you want to do it, I'd appreciate it for sure, but you know, you go back and watch those shows, I gave Greg Roman credit for what he did with the Ravens in the first half of the season. But then you have the second half where it's just like, all right, we're back to what it was. And why is this happening? And there were reasons why, right? A lot of people understand that. But I think this is a huge, huge stretch for Greg Roman here. Again, if the Ravens struggle and they have decided to bring him back, if that is the case, if the Ravens have decided to bring him back for 2022, which they have not made like a formal announcement or anything, if they've kept him or fired him, at least not the time of this recording. But if they do that, if the Ravens struggle, I think Greg Roman is the first person that we see fired, and James Urban is probably the guy, although he doesn't have play calling experience, but I'd say would probably be James Urban. So I'm putting Greg Roman 49% stud, 51% dud. I want to give him credit for what he did positively, but also I have to take away some credit for what he did negatively. You know, it's a two-way street, definitely. And for Don Martindale, you know, I definitely call him a stud overall. You know, if you want to hear percentages, I'd probably say 70-30 stud dud. Martindale, his defenses have never been high sack defenses. They did falter in the big moments, but for what he had, you know, we're talking about what Greg Roman had, for what Don Martindale had, he working with 8th string corners, 9th string corners, like the defensive line was shot at times. The outside linebacker group only had 3 guys active for like 2 straight weeks. It was a lot. And Don Martindale adjusted his scheme accordingly. And for three quarters, it was awesome. But then the fourth quarters were like, oh, come on. Like, it's, you know, the first downs and the fourth down conversions and the late touchdowns, the late scoring drives. Those are the things where you say, all right, they need to improve on that. But from where they were with tackling, they got a lot better. The big plays, they never went away, but they did get a lot better. So that's where I'm going to say Don Martindale was a stud for me because he adjusted his defense. You know, Don Martindale, we all know he's a very aggressive defensive coordinator, going back to what I was talking about, how the aggressive nature of this team was. But he's an aggressive coordinator. He blitzes all the time. He loves the blitz, exotic blitz packages. But the corners the Ravens had and the secondary the Ravens had, he just could not afford to do it. He could not afford to leave those guys on islands. With Marlon Humphrey, with Marcus Peters, you can leave them on islands or give them a little help over the top and be fine with it, and you can rush. But they literally had to put two guys on Devontae Adams at the bracket coverage. I mean, you can't leave those guys on islands. You have to give massive help. So they couldn't blitz as much. So I give Don Martindale credit for getting the results he got over the course of most games in the second half of the season with the players he had. And that's what I put that down to. And then for other assistant coaches, you know, I'd say T. Martin and Keith Williams were both studs for me. They came in, they helped Greg Roman, they helped this offense. The players seemed to love them. I think those were two phenomenal hires. Anthony Weaver, I'd say, was a great hire. Rob Ryan, I know his unit was up and down this season, but it seemed like the players really did like him, especially from what they were saying in the preseason when they were asked about him. And even over the course of the year, too, I thought that they did a great job. I know Drew Wilkins, the Ravens love Drew Wilkins, what he's able to do with the outside linebackers. And yeah, I think this team, they lost a lot of coaches over the course of the offseason in 2021, but they hired a lot of great ones. And now we're seeing, you know, whether Don Martindale gets a head coaching job or whatnot, if he brings anybody, if he doesn't, whatnot. But I think that the Ravens coaches, some ups, some downs, definitely. But, you know, especially in the first half, they got some magic out of the year. The second half, there were a lot of things that led to the collapse, and the coaches are not, you know, just these gods who can't be criticized, right? Nobody cannot be criticized. When there's stuff to criticize, I will criticize it. When there's stuff to praise, I will praise it. So I try to see things from a level-headed perspective. I understand that, you know, sometimes everybody can be reactionary, and sometimes they're, all right, this guy's terrible, get rid of him, or this guy's great because he did this. But, you know, I like to put together the big picture when I look at these types of things. But that's all I have for you here today on Locked On Ravens. When we get back here tomorrow, we'll be diving into your mailbag questions. So stay tuned for that, and I'll see you tomorrow.